For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. That's a very famous verse, my friends. John 3:16. You see it time and again at football games on placards held up so the TV can catch it. John 3:16. It's a very powerful passage. It becomes, in a sense, the calling card proclamation of evangelical Christianity. Indeed, over 80% of Billy Graham's evangelistic sermons were rooted in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Today I'm going to focus on John 3:16. I'm going to focus on John 3:16 as the core of the gospel message that we proclaim, as the very core of the good news. As we heard last week about hope, this week we're going to hear about faith, and on the faith we have in Jesus Christ. We're going to look at John 3:16, and we're going to look at John 3:17. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Wow. That's not the impression I get from most conservative Christians that I hear today preaching on the TV and on radio and on YouTube. You would think that God came into the world, that Jesus Christ came into the world, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world to condemn the world, to beat on the world, to pin the world up in electric fences and kill them. No. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible said, for God so loved the world. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So today we're going to look at John 3:16 in the light as interpreted by John 3:17. So let's start with 3:16 and break it apart into some of its pieces. For God so loved the world. The word love here is not phileo, like. It's not that God liked the world, or God tolerated the world, or God wished to want to like or love the world. No, it says God loved the world. And the word here for love is agape. The eternal love, the divine love, the kind of love that loves the other because of the nature of the lover and the need of the one being loved. The kind of love that considers the needs of another as essential to and more important than your own needs. Agape love is the eternal love of God, the kind of love that flows from God to us and that we are gifted to share with others. It's a non-demanding love, a love that loves by the nature of the lover. God so loved, agape, the world. And that word there in Greek is cosmos. Not just this world, this planet Earth, but the world, the universe, the cosmos. God so loved all of creation. God created it and called it good, and God loved it so much. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. The word only is unique, special, without measure, without comparison, without qualification, without any possible competition. Unique, perfect, special, only Son. Priceless is another possible meaning here for unique. Priceless son. God so loved the world that he gave his son who was beyond all price. God so loved the world that he gave his only unique son, Jesus. So that everyone, not some, not only those who look and smell and talk and act and probably even taste like us, not those who do the things that we do, who have the same social, economic, political, sexual background as us. No, God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone, and the Greek word here is pas, and it's one of those short three-letter words that can be squirrely. What it really means in its simple concept is all. All. God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that all those who believe in him, all those who believe in him. Aha! Who believe, who have an understanding of the doctrines of the faith, who can recite the articles of religion, who accept the Apostles and Nicene Creed. I love the Apostles and Nicene Creed. I love the articles of religion. But that's not what this is talking about. That's not the belief it's talking about. All those who believe, the word here is the Greek verb pisteuo, for the Greek verb for faith. Actually, it's a participle here, still verb form, and it quite literally means all those who exercise faith, all those who have active belief, all those who have experienced the presence of Jesus, all those who live a life in accord with Jesus' calling for them, all those who live in faith, who exercise faith, who have belief, have confidence in that belief, and act because of that. All of those who exercise faith. God so loved the world that he gave his only, unique, without price, without comparison, son, that all those who faith in him, in Jesus, who exercise faith in Jesus. Some other possible synonyms here for pisteuo would be trust, rely, depend upon, lean upon. All those who trust in Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that all those who trust in Jesus. It's not a mental act of affirming doctrines. It's an experiential act of trusting, relying, depending upon Jesus rather than the self. It's the experiential reality of faith that's in play here. The life we live, the way we live. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. It's that kind of faith, living, life-transforming faith that's being spoken of here. God so loved the world that he gave his unique son that all those who trust in him may not perish, may not. That's a squirrely translation there, may not. In reality, it probably ought to be better translated as will not. There's no question about this. All those who trust in Jesus will not perish. And by the way, perish is also squirrely translation. The literal is, will not be destroyed, will not be loosed from existence, is the wooden translation. Shall not be, will not be loosed from existence, but will have, not may have, will have eternal life, never-ending life, ageless life, life eternal that makes the billions of years of geological time look like a spit in the bucket of the Pacific Ocean, my friends. And by no comparison, even there. God so loved the world, the universe, that he gave his unique Son, that all those who trust, who faith in him, who exercise faith in him, will not perish, but will have eternal life. Wow. It's not about doctrines. It's not about salvation by belief, by I believe this, that, and the other. It's not salvation by doing good works. It's salvation by faith, yes. Active belief. Living in a relationship with Jesus. Trusting in him instead of the self. Focusing your hope, not in us, but in him. I was asked last Sunday after the sermon if the Greek word for hope, elpis, has in its core the same core as is in the Greek word for faith, pistis. And I said, yes, it's the P-I-S in Greek, peace. It's the core root word, meaning quite literally, trust. And in this case, in the case of hope, it's hope in Jesus, hope in God, hope in the Creator, knowing that the faith that we have in him establishes in reality today that for which we hope. Even though we don't have it yet, we know we have it in him. Likewise here, this word translated belief in John 3:16, those who believe in him, no, those who have hope in him, who have faith in him, who trust in him, who rely in him, who live in his grace, who depend upon his word. I can't beat this home hard enough, friends. We are called not to salvation by doctrines or by works. We are called to salvation by a relationship with Jesus Christ, by living with Jesus. And that's what this is saying. Now, what about John 3:17? The first word in the English translation we have been using today in the NRSV is indeed. That's not all that bad, but it translates the Greek word gar, which is usually translated in the Bible as for. In other words, John 3:17 actually reads, "For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world." The for, therefore, explains the verse that went before it. John 3:17 is about to explain what John 3:16 meant. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that all those who exercise faith in him would not perish, will not perish, shall not perish, but shall have, will have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world. God is not about condemning. God is not about hating. God is not about, this sounds a little strange, God is not about sending people to hell. God is about love, forgiving, accepting, welcoming, and yes, transforming, changing, molding, shaping us. God did not come into the world to condemn the world. The church usually understands that as being the world, as being the people other than us. Well, yeah, God did not come into the world to condemn anybody, but instead to welcome, to call, to accept all those who would exercise faith in Jesus Christ. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. When I was a child at Walnut Hill United Methodist Church, I was just a little pipsqueak, just a little kid, and we were having a revival. And I remember getting up from the pew to run forward to the chancel area. And when Mom grabbed my arm to ask, "What are you doing?" I said, "I want to have Jesus in me too." I remember this distinctly. I looked at Mom, and back then that was when I had to look up at Mom. She's 5 foot nothing. I look down now. I looked up at Mom and I said, "I want to have Jesus in me too." And I went up to the chancel, and I knelt down to pray. And I, to this day, can remember looking up and looking around. The red carpet, the wood-paneled walls, the music that was playing, and the minister coming down to pray with people. And I remember kneeling there and feeling like I was right there kneeling with God. God was kneeling right there with me. Today, I understand that as being the real presence of Jesus. I couldn't put a title on it back then, but I had experienced it. I knew what it was. And every time I've experienced it since, I know what it is. It's the real presence of Jesus Christ our Lord. It's God kneeling with us. It's being in the immediate presence of the Creator of the universe. And it's overwhelming, my brothers and sisters. I went to undergraduate school and studied religion and philosophy, and I went to graduate school and discovered and studied philosophy and theology and biblical studies, and did my doctorate in systematic theology of Holy Communion and the study of the formation of the scriptures, textual criticism, form criticism, literary criticism, historical criticism. And in all those studies, in all those years of opening the theological textbooks and studying historical theology and systematic theology and the theology of Holy Communion, sacramental theology, in all the years of study, I found no statement more clear, more meaningful, more life-transforming than this. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. I mean, I've heard theological explanations for all the mysteries of the Bible, theological explanations for the consubstantial humanity and divinity of Jesus, theological explanations of the Holy Trinity, theological explanations of the presence of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. I have a degree on my wall that says I'm an expert in this subject, and I still don't understand it, but I understand this. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. No more profound proclamation throughout the history of the church can be made than that. And that interprets beautifully John 3:16 and John 3:17. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
The Bible tells me so.
As you come to the table of the Lord, know that Jesus loves you. As you come to the table of the Lord and receive the Holy Eucharist, know that Jesus came into the world so that all those who trust in Him, you will not perish, but have eternal life. As you come to the table of the Lord, know that Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. And receive that love anew, afresh. And take that love anew and afresh out into a world that is broken and hurting, hungering and thirsting for the love of God. The world hears about the condemning from too many preachers. The world needs to hear about the loving presence of God from you and me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me.
Been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2012 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.